reason leaves us to our own opinions. But truth is an objective that operates beyond you. It's a non-negotiable. Truth is reality in its original form, and that's where we find God. And as we put on the belt of truth, as we gird up our loins with truth, that is tethered to righteousness. That is tethered to righteousness. He says, put on this breastplate of righteousness. There behind this breastplate is your heart and my heart. Righteousness is our application of truth. Righteousness is the standard which is acceptable by God. And our application of truth is how we gain and obtain righteousness. And it is produced by the outflow of your heart, because in your heart there is life. And so we talked about whoever commits sin commits lawlessness, and lawlessness is sin. And to produce righteousness is to take on the character and the ways of God and to apply the truth of life. And so our eyes and our gaze should be on God and produce righteousness, which is the opposite of lawlessness. And so today, Paul shares with us from Ephesians 6, 15 and 16, that we must have on our shoes and we must have our shield. We must have on our shoes and we must have and possess our shield. Shoes. Now, I'm dancing now because my wife is in the front row and this story is about her. Now, I've learned being married almost 10 years now that one of the most sensitive subjects is my bride's shoes. Why do I say that? It's because it's been the source of some arguments and some disagreements. Now, we go on trips and we travel together, and I have my bag, and my bag would be the carry-on, and then she might have a larger bag, and we might have to pay a few pennies to check that bag because that bag won't be a carry-on. I say, we're just going on a trip for one night or two nights or something like that. Why do we need all of this stuff? Well, when we get to the hotel and I find out what's in the bag, it's all of these shoes. She may have three or four pairs of shoes. Now, I just might have on one pair of shoes, and those shoes are going to carry me through the trip. And so she said, I said, why do you need all of these shoes? Well, she says, I have two or three outfits, and I need to have a choice to be able to pick what shoes I feel like wearing with my outfit. And, you know, so that, you know, this is a little dicey here. And sometimes she'll have these outfits, and then she'll wind up wearing flip-flops, which I don't consider to be shoes, you know. And I say, well, sweetheart, you had all of those shoes, and then what? She says, I need to be comfortable today. And so she has on these flip-flops. And so the idea here is many of us, and every day, we put on shoes, and we wear shoes, and we put on these shoes so that we don't go barefoot, right? If you see one going barefoot, that's odd. If you just see one outside of their home, just with socks on or just barefoot, you would say that is odd, because we put on shoes, and we wear these shoes every day. And today, Paul talks about putting on these shoes. And these shoes are shoes that we should have on at all times. These are shoes that we don't have an option of whether or not we wear, whether or not it looks good. Paul says, these are shoes that if you have on all times, then you're ready for that evil day that comes against you. And so verse 15 says, to have these shoes on your feet and having put on the readiness given by the gospel. He says, having your feet shod or putting on these shoes. And the idea of readiness, that you're ready for battle and that you're able to stand firm and that you're able to have right footing in the time of battle. Now, we have to know this and understand this because a Roman soldier would have on shoes that would have spikes, that would have spikes that protrude out of the shoes. Today, we would see these as cleats. Today, we're going to turn on the NFL, and the NFL playoffs are going to be on, and every NFL player, every 53-man roster that's going to be there presented today is going to have on a pair of cleats, is going to have on these shoes. And the idea of these shoes is that one may have sure footing, that in this time of battle, in this time of pressing against one another, in this time of struggle, that one does not slip and slide, that we have sure footing, that you have stability. The very purpose of having on these shoes is that you may have stability while in this battle. So the idea of peace presents stability within warfare. Now he says, having the gospel of peace. Why does he put the gospel? Why does one put the gospel of peace before? Why does he put gospel before peace? Well, in John 14:27, right before the Lord is getting ready to go to the cross, Jesus says to his disciples, peace I leave with you. We understand the gospel to be the good news about Jesus Christ, that our God reigns. That's the gospel, the good news of Jesus. And Jesus says, as he's getting ready to leave this place and leave his disciples, he says, peace I leave with you, and my peace I give to you. I give it to you, not as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Peace is stability, the Lord says, in time of troubles and in time of fear. In times in the midst of adversity, there is calm. There's calm in the midst of the serenity in the midst of chaos, the Lord says, when you take on his peace. Peace I leave with you, the Lord Jesus says. Not as the world gives. The world gives you temporary peace. I asked some of my friends, some that can't stop smoking cigarettes. I asked them, hey, why do you have to take a drag of that cigarette? And they say something like, it calms my nerves. I ask, why do we have to have that glass of wine before we go to bed? Because it calms my nerves. It soothes me in the time of anguish. It's my time of relaxing before I go down for the night. Peace that the world gives is temporary. Because in just a few minutes, in just a few moments, it won't last. Drugs, sex, cigarettes, pills, alcohol, It's just a temporary high that leaves you with a void in just a few minutes. But the peace that God gives, that the Lord says, I give you, is a peace, Paul says in Philippians 4:7, that passes all understanding. And shall you keep in your hearts and your minds through Christ. And so when we're focused on Christ, we have that peace. And that peace that passes all understanding. The peace that the world gives is just for a few moments. Just for a few moments. It's masturbation, because only for a few moments the thrill lasts and it doesn't produce life. It leaves us dependent, and it produces strongholds within our life that we're dependent on something else instead, and of outward influences instead of inward peace that's given to us by the Spirit. And Jesus Christ says, peace I give to you. Colossians chapter 3 says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you are called to peace. And be thankful. And be thankful for it. This very idea is that let peace, the peace of Christ, rule in your life. What does this word rule mean? It means to umpire. It means to umpire. What do referees and umpires do? They call the game. And whatever they call, it is. Whatever the umpire calls, whether he calls a ball or a strike, it is. You can come out there, the manager can come out cussing and fussing. I've never seen an umpire change his mind. I've never seen an umpire, as upset as one can get, I've never seen an umpire change his mind or change one's call. And what Paul is saying here in Colossians, he says, let the peace of God make the call. In the midst of chaos, in the midst of circumstances beyond measure, at the evil day, in the time of the evil day, when life is coming and pressing against you, let the peace of God make the call in your life. Some of you, and I guess all of you, we've lived in life and we've had life come at us, and we've had chaos around us, and we haven't found peace, or we may look at things and things may come at us, and so we may not feel the peace that we need, so we may not do something. We say, I don't feel good about it. I can remember my wife praying about the sickness of our daughter one time, and she's praying and praying and praying about the sickness of our daughter, and at 2 o'clock in the morning, she got up, and she found out what it is because the Lord led her to whatever it is. And sometimes you and I may be in a situation where we may not go this way because we don't have peace about what God is showing us, and he may divert our attention and keep us from harm's way. Let the peace of God make the call in your life. Let it rule in your life and not the things of this world. The peace. Having peace ensures stability. Having on the shoes of peace ensures the stability in which we need in warfare. Verse 16. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. Notice the scripture says, take up. Before it said, having the shoes, right? And so these first three, the belt, the breastplate, and the shoes are what we have. It's what we're to have on at all times, just like the ball player in the uniform, right? But now he says, take up the shield. And so you must choose to take up the shield. Take up the shield that you can extinguish the flaming darts of the evil one. Now Paul is giving us the imagery of a shield. And a Roman soldier, when going to battle, would have a shield. And that shield would be about 2 feet wide and about 4 feet long, and it would protect you. It's made of wood, but then they would wrap that wood with leather. Would wrap that wood with leather. And they would dip that leather in water because that shield now would be able to protect them from the flaming darts, which we'll talk about in a minute. But that this shield, at the right angle and holding up the shield, they're trained to be able to crouch down, and this shield would be able to protect their whole body. And as they're marching in alignment, and as they're marching in regiment, and they may all put their shield up and crouch down as they see the arrows and the javelins come against them, they can crouch down and it be protected from the javelin and the arrows of life. And so he says this shield is like a shield of faith. That faith is a shield that protects you against the javelins and the arrows of life. Circumstances, facts may seem a certain way. The circumstances in your life may look a certain way, but faith is believing that God is and God will. In the midst of your circumstances, faith is your sixth sense. Your five senses have you in the physical realm, right? That we see, we touch, we taste, we hear, we smell. These are all things that are present within the physical realm. But the sixth sense leads you to the spiritual realm. Faith is what leads us to the spiritual realm. It's like having a third eye or having the sixth sense. It takes us from the physical to the spiritual, where the battle is. This is where the battle lies, in the spiritual realm. And faith is trusting in this God who we can't see and believing that he is, although it doesn't make sense. This is faith. We know that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. But faith is acting in the truth of God. That's what faith is, or that's what produces faith. And faith is the access point of God's power. Now, you're not doing, although you have faith and you take on faith, you're not doing it. It's the access window to God's power to release and manifest things within your life. You have grace, and we have faith is the point that accesses the grace. We have this armor. We have the shoes. We have the breastplate. We have the belt. You can choose whether to put it on or not. It's like going to the doctor. The doctor prescribes for you some medicine. And in the pill, you go to the pharmacy and you get the pill. You get the medicine. And the doctor says, take two of these a day. Take two of these a day. And we take one and we choose not to take the other. And we say, why didn't this thing work? Why aren't I getting well? Well, we didn't take on or take the medicine that the doctor prescribed. It's the same thing with the Lord. The Lord says, take on his righteousness, apply his truth, and we ask, why isn't God's way working? Well, we only took one of the 20 pills. We're not praying. We're not doing the things that produces this faith. And then we ask for more faith, which is an error in theology. Because the Lord says all we need is a little faith. He says if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can move mountains. It's not the measure of faith. It's the idea. It's faith is the access to God's power and what God wants to do in your life. And it is a shield that protects us against the darts and the arrows of the evil one. The flaming darts of the evil one. In that evil day when all hell is breaking loose in your life, he said it'll even protect you against the flaming darts. Now the idea here is they would shoot the bow and arrow. And the idea is the bow and arrow pointed at you without a shield could kill you. But even stronger than the bow and arrow is one that's dipped in fluid and lit. And that on the end of that arrow is fire. And that fire shot at you or around you produces now smoke and fire around you that creates a chaos around you, that because you can't fight fire and the enemy at the same time. You can't do it. It's to create a diversion or commotion that keeps you from God's will, God's blessings upon your life. And it produces this commotion that has us running or has us fleeing instead of standing firm. And so as we see the darts, he says, take on the shield of faith. Take on the shield of faith. And this faith protects you from everything that you come against. In 1996, there was a star of the 96 Olympics, and her name was Carrie Strug. Now, I lived through the 96 Olympics. That was the great Olympics where we saw Muhammad Ali passed, run with the torch through Atlanta, and the great works of Andrew Young to bring the Olympics to the United States and bring it to Atlanta was a big thing. But Carrie Strug was this unsung hero because she was never to be the one at which we looked at to place. There's always athletes that we look at and we say, we're counting on them to win us the medal and to lead us to first place. We're counting on them. Carrie was one of those people who was always second place. It was almost, she had Shannon Miller in front of her in the 92 Olympics. And Shannon would have been Jordan to her Pippen, okay, to give you another analogy, right? And so she was good enough to be on the team, but she was never the superstar. And so Shannon Miller had this coach, Bella. Coach Bella Corolla. And Bella Corolla was this great Olympic coach. And in 92, he had Shannon. And when Shannon got injured and disqualified, his hopes and his dreams left. And so after the 92 Olympics, he decided to quit. I can't do this anymore. And so after the 92 Olympics, he quit. And in 94, he came back. He came back with a 13-year-old gymnast. And so with this 13-year-old gymnast, his hopes and his eyes were set on this gymnast. And they took on Carrie and all of them to be a part of the team. And they won the USA trials and those type things. And so as they were competing, Carrie Strutt got injured. She was injured so bad that she injured her back so bad that it was said that she may never walk again, much less compete. Well, within a year, she was back on the gym floor and helped her team to get qualified, and she got qualified for the 96 Olympics. Well, in the 96 Olympics, there with Coach Bella Corolla and others, she was the last one to compete. And she had to stick this landing. And they're in second place. And in order for, and mathematically, she has to score a perfect score for the U.S. to win the gold. So all of the hopes of the U.S. is on Carrie Strutt. And as Carrie goes to the bench, she contorts her body and she comes down off of the bench and she comes and she lands and she sprains her ankle. She sprains it so bad that she can't walk, but more or less run. And so she comes back around, and here is Coach Bell, who says to Carrie, "Carrie, focus on me. Keep your eyes and your gaze upon me." He says, "Carrie, I know you can do it. I know you can do it. Don't focus on your foot. Don't focus on your circumstances. Don't focus on the pain. But keep your gaze and your eyes on me." And Carrie took on all that she is and said, and knowing that she didn't want to be the one who let down her team. She didn't want to be the one who was remembered for the fall and letting down the team and the team having the chance to win. She went back down that aisle and she ran and she jumped on the bench. She contorted her body and she stuck the landing. She stuck the landing and had a perfect 10. And what you see then is her limping afterwards. And you see Coach Bella Corolla pick her up and scoop her up. She said, "You don't have to walk anymore. You can rest in my arms." The idea for us is that we are injured. Yes, we are injured, but we have one. We have a coach that's saying, "Don't focus on your circumstances. Don't focus on the storms of life that are against you. Take on and have on the shoes of peace and have on this shield." He's saying to us, Focus on me. Look at me. Take on my faith. Clothe yourself in my power and not your own. And when you, the results that you'll get are the positive ones. The results that we'll get are the ones who finish the race and do it well. I urge you that as we go through this life, to keep our gaze and keep our eyes on Jesus. Because he is the author and the finisher of our faith. And without Christ and without faith, it's impossible to please God. Put on this shield of faith, so that we may be the ones who produce and work after the shoes and the shield that produces peace in our life in the midst of chaos and the storms around us, as well as the faith in our life that takes on and that leads us to the power of God that works within us. Amen. Father, I thank you and praise you so much for your word that you are calling us to putting on full and the whole arm of God, that by your grace we have this power, and that the way in which we access it is through faith in you. And so, Lord, we thank you and praise you for what you're doing with us. We thank you, Lord, for your word here, that we not be swept up by the arrows and the darts of the evil ones, that those darts are there to confuse us, but that we may see and have your perfect will guide our life, and that we may allow peace to rule our life and govern us. So, Lord, we thank you and praise you for what you're doing with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Trumpet. Amen. There's no God like Jehovah. Receive now the benediction. Now the God of peace that brought you again from the dead, and our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet one another as you leave.